Okay, very good evening to all, huh? Brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is the 22nd of May, 2018. Then I was told by Padmasri and Saukayanamita, next Tuesday is Vesak Day. So we have decided to have our usual Tuesday class because it's very rare to have Vesak on Tuesday. After so many years, I think this is the first time. So we will have a special puja. Then maybe we will devote more time next Tuesday to just Dhamma sharing, then some meditation and all those things. So we will make this Vesak a very meaningful one. We can also chant the Dhamma Chakka Pavatana Sutta. Well, Vesak is a triple occasion. It's an occasion for us to recall to mind the birth of the Buddha. So after his birth is his enlightenment. Then after his enlightenment is his parinibbana. So these triple occasions are very unique. And they are being like internationally observed. And it's a holiday for most countries, especially Buddhist country. And it's an occasion for us to recall to mind the great teacher, Sammasambuddha Sakyamuni, and also his teaching, and how to spread love, compassion, wisdom, so that our world can be a better world. Then this time around, our country, I think, will move on with true glory and greatness. A lot of things has changed, has happened. The human consciousness, our people's consciousness, our country consciousness, it has changed. And a lot of things will be beautiful. Then, apart from that, for those who have the faith, the spiritual consciousness also is very strong, very powerful. You can get to benefit tremendously from it. And the other good thing is our website is now more than 1 year. I think 1 year, 2 months. It was last year, 1st of March we launched, I remember. So there are a lot of things inside the website. All the books, transcript, the audio recording, then our sharing, and our Kayanamitas grouping. There's a lot of very useful information inside there. Then also whatever we do, our activity, our spiritual trips, our usual classes, and many things, they are all there. Our gathering of Kayanamita and annual affair, our annual retreat at Cabin Highland, the 9-day retreat, I think which we had hold for already 6 or 7 times. Then there are many other useful information, activity, and Dhamma within. So these are very wholesome. Then tonight it so happened. A lot of you all can make it and turn up to be with us today. My nature rejoice. Let's rejoice together. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then we got 2 new people who join us today. They are Queenie's friend. They are seated at the back there. So later on, after the class, if you have time, you can get to know them too. Okay, now let us compose our mind, develop the spiritual faculty of Sadha, Virya. Then mindfully, we shall commence the puja. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Mila Pho. Namo Mila Pho. Namo Mila Pho. Namo Pusien Pusa. นะโมพุทธเสนพุทธะนะโมพุทธเสนพุทธะนะโมโฟพุทธะนะโมโฟพุทธะนะโมโฟพุทธะอะระหังสัมมาสัมพุทโธภะคะวะพุทธังภะคะวันตังอภิวาเทมิสุคาโตภะคะวะตาธัมโมธัมมังนะมัสสามิสุปัฏฐิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆสังฆังนะมามิOkay, you can be seated. Then turn to page 1 of the chanting book. Eh? We will chant the Vandana onwards. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato SammasambuddhassaBuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhasa Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Sanghang Saranang GacchamiThe Tiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami The Tiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami The Tiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami The Tiyampi Buddhang Saranang GacchamiTatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Panatipata Veramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Adinadana Veramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyamiกะวิชาจาระเวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิมุสาวาทาเวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิสุราเมรยามัจจาปะมาตะทานะเวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิ Now we are chanting Padipa Puja offering of light. Ganna sarapaditena dipena tamadangsina tilokadipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang.Ganda sambarayutena dopena hang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bacana mutamang vanna ganda gonopetang etang kusuma santatinPujayami Monindasa Siri Pada Sarorohe Pujemi Buddhang Kasumena Nena Punnena Matena Chahotu Mokang Pupang Milayati Yata Idang MeKayo tatayati nasabawang Adivase tunobante Paniyang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tuno bante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tuno bante bojana parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Understanding the significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma, whose doses of the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May ours and understanding shine forth far and wide, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we are to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Offering of significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith, constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya. Nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of this offering, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or power, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the conditions to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then let us pay respect to Triple Gem. Buddhang pujami. Dhammang pujami. Sanghang pujami. Okay. You all can be seated, just relax yourself. Then we can off the light, yeah? So that you can have half an hour of meditation. I still got, come, take from me. Here still got notes. Those who don't have notes, pass it around. Yun Chan, give to Yun Chan. Yun Chan, the notes. Those who just came in, you can collect your notes from PG. Okay. So you just relax body and mind, silent everything. Then for those who are new, I will try to give you some instruction. For those who already know how to meditate, please proceed with your meditation. Yeah, off it. So, yeah. You just relax body and mind, silence your mind and listen attentively, huh, for those who are new. Whatever I say, they are in the books. Huh? So later on, you can go back and read through the transcript book. Or you can go into the website. Huh? There are a few books on meditation. So most of the instructions are similar, huh? Except they are spoken in different format under different occasion. Huh? But the gist of it, they are the same. Huh? Okay, so the key to meditation is to have the ability to relax both body and mind. As a human being, we have a physical body, we have a mind. So these two must harmonize. Yeah. If your body is not relaxed, mind will not be able to relax. Then likewise, if you don't have the understanding and the wisdom to relax your mind, your body will have problem. Normally it will develop stress. Then it will also develop a lot of negativity of energy, mind state. So meditation is a very good way to develop the ability to relax your body and mind. So they call it stress release. So normally after a tired day, or a full day at your workplace, you can recuperate from your tired day by doing some meditation. And this form of meditation is very useful. It's also free, and you can do it so that you can recuperate from your stressful or tired day. Then when you are relaxed, you are peaceful, you are calm, then your mind state are different. Your energy, your vibration all become very positive. Then the benefits of meditation are many. If you do it correctly, it will bring about inner peace, inner calmness. Then when we combine with loving kindness or metta meditation, it brings about inner well-being. Then when your mind settle down, become peaceful, quiet, you develop inner clarity of mind. And this clarity of mind can give you a lot of understanding. When there is clarity, your mind are not clouded with fear, worry, anxiety, thought process, the mental hindrance. Your mind is able to see things clearly, see things as they are. And this one can allow you to develop wisdom and understanding. That's why meditation can bring about enlightenment, awakening. Then when there is clarity, there is understanding, you become more efficient, work-wise, even to understand life, to organize your own life, is so much easier. Then the other benefits of meditation is it can bring about a useful character, personality transformation. It will make you different. It can transform you to become a noble being or a wise being. Noble in every aspect of life and understanding. We call it the Noble Eightfold Path factors. You will have right understanding of life, right view, leading to right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood. Then you will also have this four right effort to constantly purify yourself. Then you will have right livelihood, followed by right mindfulness, followed by right samadhi. So all this will transform you as a normal human being to become a noble being. Yeah. because you are noble in all aspects of life. In the way you conduct yourself, you have noble speech, noble action, noble thought process. And you are very noble in all aspects of life. You understand life very clearly. Then you also live life in accordance with the nature's law. You never violate them. That's why you are different. So all this will make you different. So these are the great benefits of meditation. Then to meditate is very simple. You just relax body and mind. Make sure you have a stable posture. And close your eye. Make sure your backbone is straight, relax. Then maintain attention at your forehead. Just feel, don't think, feel. If there is any tension, any tightness or any stress within, you just relax into it. Relax, relax, and relax. Feel it soothingly, relax. We call this the mind sweeping method. So that you can develop the ability to decondition your heedless thinking. So that your mind can calm down and become peaceful. Where you just feel and relax. You don't do anything else. So after that, you sweep it down to your facial muscle. Do the same. Feel. Relax. After your eye muscle, you sweep it down further to your facial muscle. Again, feel, relax each and every strand of your facial muscle. Then in order to help you relax better, you can visualize yourself radiating a radiant smile in front of a mirror. When you can radiate that radiant smile, you have joy, you have happiness within your mind state. That's why your facial muscle will naturally relax when you radiate that radiant smile. Then after that, you can radiate loving kindness. You can recite, follow what I recite. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. You have to feel it with your mind, that your entire body and mind is relaxed and happy. Each and every cell within your physical body, you have to feel the well-being, the well-being within. So you can repeat, may I, this body and mind, you feel your body and mind, be well and happy, well and happy. This inner well-being is very important. Then may it too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May it always keep itself peaceful and happy always. May this body and mind of mine too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. Feel it when you radiate this metta. May it too be free from all harm and danger. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within your hearts. Then you can radiate this same metta to your loved ones. May all my loved ones too be well and happy, well and happy. May they all too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within our hearts. Then you can continue to read it. May all beings within this vicinity of SS2, all Kayanamitas, and all other beings within the whole of Petaling Jaya, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, and our entire mother planet, Earth. Then may all beings within the entire galaxy, our solar system, our galaxy, then the entire Milky Way, then extending to all the entire universe. May all beings throughout the entire existence be well and happy, well and happy. May they all too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within all heart. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you can come back to your facial muscle. Feel relaxed. Then you sweep it down to your neck. Feel relaxed. Then you shift it down to your shoulder. Feel relaxed. Hand, feel relaxed. Back to shoulder. Then you move your attention to your heart area or your chest area. Again, feel relaxed. If you can detect any vibration or your heartbeat, you just silence everything and just stay there and maintain that meditative silence. If you are new, you are not sensitive, you can't, it's okay. You continue to just feel and relax. Then move it down to your stomach. Again, feel, relax. Then sweep it down to your abdomen. Feel, relax. Your leg, feel, relax. Then your buttock, feel, relax. Then you can reverse the entire mind sweeping method. Backward. From your buttock, feel, relax. Then your leg, feel, relax. Then you move your attention to your abdomen, feel, relax. Then your stomach, feel, relax. Then you move it up further to your chest area, silence everything and feel, relax into it. Then move it up to your shoulder, feel, relax. Hand, feel, relax. Back to shoulder, feel, relax. Then your neck, feel, relax. Then your entire facial muscle, feel, relax them all. Then your eye muscle, feel, relax. Then your forehead, feel, relax. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. So what you need to do is you need to move on to the next stage to stabilize this calm mind or silent mind. So you can do it with whatever method of meditation or object of meditation that you are familiar with. If you don't have anything, you can use anapanasati, which is mindfulness of the in and out breath that the Buddha used. And the Buddha recommended the breath because it's a very neutral object, very suitable for most people. And our breath is always with us, always in the present moment. So you can be mindful of this breathing, the in and out breathing, in a relaxed manner. You are cultivating present moment awareness. That is what sati is all about, to be with the moment without thought, silent. So what you can do is, like you feel your forehead, now you feel your breathing. You maintain attention in front of your nostril, just silent everything and just feel. And when you can detect your breathing, like the Buddha's instruction, breathing in, your mind is aware. Breathing out, your mind is aware. Every time it wanders off, don't worry. Just allow it to be. Just have the understanding that the untrained mind thinks a lot. The untrained mind wanders off very fast. Because this mind is not trained, it's not stable. Within split second, your mindfulness is gone. And this heedless thinking come about because throughout the day in your daily life, you are not mindful, you are not aware, your spiritual faculties are not developed. Instead, you created a lot of mental hindrance. That's why this heedless thinking arises. It becomes habitual. So every time this mind wanders off, have patience. just to bring it back, then maintain that training. You can expect the mind to wander off many, many times, but don't worry. Don't fight it, don't resist, don't get unhappy over it. Just tell yourself, you only need to train. So every time it wanders off, you bring it back, then continue your anapanasati. Not long, if you have the faith, the sadha, the virya, within 5-10 minutes, you should be able to get it. Then when this mind becomes peaceful and calm after you are able to develop the mindfulness of the in and out breath, the moment the mind is able to be with the breathing in sati, you become very calm, very peaceful. You experience a type of meditative calm called piti. Piti is spiritual calmness, spiritual joy, or sometimes people call it spiritual rupture, like your mind rupture. There's so much joy inside. You feel very good. So when it happens, you just relax into it and silent. Continue to allow the anapanasati to develop. Then you can develop the ability to relax into it and maintain that type of mindfulness. Means your awareness and the breath move as one in perfect synchrony without words. Just allow the breathing to be natural, relax, then your breath just follow. Your awareness, your mind and the breath move as one. That is anapanasati. Okay, I will let you develop that training. Then when the 30 minutes is up, the alarm will ring. Then I will ring the bell 3 times. Then you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Okay? those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Then we can continue with our second session. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed for as long as you can. Then turn to page 6 of the chanting book. We will do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching or doctrine of the king or sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Okay, then we can chant together, the Pali. Samanta Chakawalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Muni Rajas Sunantu Sakamokadam Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayam Badanta Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Iti peso bhagava arahang sammasambuddho Vijacarana sampanno sugato lokavido Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusana buddho bhagavati Swakato bhagavata dhammo Sanditiko akaliko Ehipaseko opanayiko Pachatang veditabbo vinohiti Supatipanno bhagavato savakasango Ujupatipanno bhagavato savakasango Nyaya patipanno bhagavato savakasango Michi patipanno bhagavato savakasango Nyaya acari purisaya ugani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savakasango Ahuneyo pahuneyo Dakkineyo anjali karaneyo Anuttarang punyaketang lokasati Sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Rinpoche. Budang Puje mi. Damang Puje mi. Sanghang Puje mi. Okay, relax body and mind, then we will continue with our second session. After meditation is Dhamma sharing. But we had this 1st of May Tuesday class outline short notes. You have it in front of you. Anybody who don't have, you can come and collect from me. I still have some. Okay, I'll go through the previous Tuesday class note, so that you can develop better understanding. Yeah? 1st May 2018, Tuesday class, outline notes. So this note was prepared by some Kairamita who volunteer, so that you can have a recap of what was discussed. But to understand the full scope, you have to go through the recording, the audio file. Yeah? Here, the outline given are very good. First, we did an introduction for two newcomers. Today also we got two. So I will do it afterwards. Then, benefits of performing devotional practice or puja. So this one I have already explained a little bit just now. When we started, what we normally do is we will develop the devotion towards the Buddha and his teaching. So this devotional practice is for us to develop our spiritual faculties. These 5 spiritual faculties, Sadha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi and Panya, are very important. Because these are mind states that can allow you to understand spiritual teaching. Sadha, most of us will know, is faith or confidence in the Buddha and his teaching. This faith comes from understanding who the Buddha is. It's not just blind faith. This faith is the confidence that we develop in understanding that the Buddha is not just an ordinary human being. He is a very unique and very, very wise and virtuous being. At any one time, when he arrives, even the latest 2,600 years ago, you can say he is the fully enlightened one. He is not only enlightened, he is perfect and complete in all of enlightenment. And because of that, he has complete wisdom and virtue. You can say he is the wisest and the most virtuous human being ever to be born at that time. That's the unique quality of a fully enlightened being, Sammasambuddha. That's why the Buddha is very rare. The arising of a Buddha is very rare. So to have him as a teacher, as your guide, to have the condition to understand his teaching, is indeed a very rare thing. So you will have great respect and gratitude towards him because he is such a great being. Then this faith will drive you to cultivate his teaching. That's why the second special spiritual faculty will arise. We call it virya. Virya is spiritual zeal, a type of energy that motivate a person give rise to that spiritual zeal, tenacity to move that way, because you see the importance of cultivating his teaching to develop the understanding that he has taught us, so that we can also be like him, have great wisdom and virtue, so that our life can become different. This is a teaching where you put it to practice and you develop the understanding of it. It can help you improve your life tremendously. Your life will improve, transform, and change for the better. It is a wisdom religion, a religion that enables you to develop great wisdom, to understand life. And when you understand life, you know how to live life. That's why this teaching is very unique. And the understanding of life is very complete. Then the other devotional practice is to develop further the spiritual faculty. Apart from faith, sadha, virya, you also develop mindfulness. When you make offering, you rejoice, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. It means you rejoice in the generosity of people who bring this offering. Then you can also rejoice in their wholesomeness, their joy, their happiness, their understanding. So rejoicing is a meritorious action. It opens our heart and makes us feel good. That's how we rejoice. It's just like the Mahayana, when they meet you, they say, Sanchai, Sanchai. Then we all call it Sadhu, Sadhu. So we rejoice. There's a lot of joy because we rejoice in the goodness that people express, in their generosity, their kindness, their beautiful wholesomeness. Then after that, when we receive the offering, we do it mindfully. Then when we pass it over, we also do it mindfully. Then as we rejoice and pass over, we also develop mindfulness. Then all action, all movement, all observation is done with mindfulness. Then when your faith is very strong, sadha virya leading to mindfulness, your mind becomes different. You are most of the time aware, calm, peaceful. Then when you stabilize this, it becomes samadhi. The mind becomes samadhi. Samadhi is the mind that is unwavering and collected, very calm, very peaceful, with clarity, with awareness within. Such a mind can give rise to clarity, understanding. Then because you have mindfulness and you are, your mind has samadhi, which means it's collected and unwavering, then you can see things as they are to arise the wisdom, the understanding. Then you can like awaken. Then you become very different. You are no longer deluded, no longer affected by the phenomenal world. Many things cannot affect you anymore. Whatever that happened that used to torment or bring about suffering and misery to humanity is no longer able to do that to you because you have this understanding, this clarity. You don't have any delusion to be caught in such entanglement. That's why you will have more peace, more calmness, more clarity, and there is a lot of joy within you. Then life becomes beautiful, meaningful. Life takes a turn. Then you can really enjoy life, live life to the fullest. Then able to experience all of the pristine beauty and wonders of life. Then your nature becomes so different. You can be a blessing to all. All these are possible. Then after we did the puja, we developed chanting. Chanting is to recall to mind our various Dharma activity. First we chant the salutation to the Buddha, which is a meritorious action. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. The meaning is homage to thee, the blessed one, the worthy one, and the fully enlightened one. Then after that, we continue by taking refuge. That's why we chant, Buddhang saranang gacchami. Then for the second time, to TMP, again we take refuge. To the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha, we go for refuge. Then for the third time, to TMP. Then we renew our precepts, the five precepts. That's why we chant Panatipata Viramani Sikha Padang Samadhi Yami. The meaning is, we undertake the training rule to abstain from killing or harming fellow living beings. Then after that, we chant the various puja offering. We understand the significance of all these puja offering. They have great significance. We have all these puja items, or things that you make offering to the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha, the Triple Gem. They have great Dhamma significance. Like the clear water. We already chant under the aspiration. It denotes the clarity of mind without defilements. Then like is the Dhamma for countering ignorance. Where there is light, there is no darkness. Then when we offer fruit, it reminds us of the fruit of karma, the friction of our cultivation leading to enlightenment. So these are various very essential Dhamma that we can develop. Then the flower will remind us of the urgency of practice of cultivation. Flower, because it decays very fast. So when it has the full condition to blossom, it's very beautiful. Then there is fragrance too. You make offering. But after a few days, it will start to deteriorate, decay. Then you see the impermanence, the ephemeral nature of flower. So likewise, you reflect, your body is the same. There is a limit to how long it can last. Of course, it varies from person to person. But the urgency is finally, it will come to pass. Like the flower, it will cease to be. So while you have the condition to have this physical body and mind. Yeah. Oh, thank you. Sadhu. Ah, good. Thank you. Woman. Eh? Good. Thank you. Sadhu. So all these are very useful puja activity or devotional offering. They have great meaning. Then after that, we develop more wholesomeness by invoking our aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. So we invoke power of merits for causes and conditions for us to progress along the path of Dhamma. So all these are very useful. Okay, then after that, we continue with our sharing of the book, the Buddha and his teaching. So that day, we were at chapter 16, page 298. So the Dhamma that were discussed are, the first one is characteristics of Dhamma. So this one just now also we got chant. Salutation to the Dhamma. We chant Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo. So well expounded is the Dhamma by the Buddha. Then the characteristics of this Dhamma, the Buddha said this Dhamma is sandhitiko. Sandhitiko means this Dhamma can be realized in the here and the now. Enlightenment can be realized in the here and the now. No need to wait till death. So this is very useful. Then this Dhamma is akaliko, beyond time, beyond thought. Then this Dhamma is ahipasiko. It stands up to investigation, inviting investigation, because it is the truth. The truth will stand up to investigation. Then this Dhamma is opanayiko, leading inwards to the heart. leading to the realization of Nibbana, which is enlightenment. Then this Dhamma is Pachetang, Veditabo, Vinohiti. This Dhamma can be realized and understood only by the wise, each for themselves. That's why when you awaken to it, there is no doubt. You don't need to check or ask anybody. The heart will understand, the nature will understand that this is it. That's why these characteristics of the Dhamma will prevent you from deviation. Whatever you cultivate in the name of meditation, if it doesn't have this characteristic, that is not the Dhamma as taught by the Buddha. Yeah. That's why this will differentiate Buddhism from other religion, yeah. Especially the enlightenment path. Yeah. Then the second thing discussed was the three universal characteristics of life. They are anicchang, dukkhang, and anatta. Can you all hear me at the back? Yeah? Can, eh? Otherwise I have to on the volume a bit more. Yeah? Soft, eh? Okay. Testing. Oh, is it too loud now? Oh, better, huh? A bit loud. Okay. Okay, huh? Okay, good. If you can't hear, let me know. Because sometimes it's the contact and sometimes it's the tuning, the adjustment. Okay, these three universal characteristics are very important. These are the uniqueness of the Buddha's teaching. A lot of other teaching in this world, you come to realize, they only emphasize on belief in the Almighty, which they call God. But the Buddha's teaching is different. It's about nature's law. There is no such thing as an almighty being or God. It has its God, but not that type of almighty being. These are celestial shrine, or they call celestial beings, or heavenly beings. They exist. But they also subject to birth and death, no different from human being on earth. So, for us Buddhists, devas do exist, gods do exist. That's why the nine great virtues of the Buddha is mentioned there. He got this very powerful virtue. He is the teacher of man and God, means he can teach all beings, whether you are heavenly beings or normal human beings. Teachers of man and God. So when it comes to the teaching, the Buddha said, everything can be understood without having a concept of a God. You don't need a God. What you need to understand is like the scientist, is it the boundary condition, the nature's law that governs life and existence. So is it this whole universe, there are five universal laws. They call it Pancha Niyama. In Pali is Uttu Niyama, then Bija Niyama. These are scientific law, physical law of nature and biological law of nature. Then there are the next three spiritual law, Karma Niyama, Dhamma Niyama, Chitta Niyama and Dhamma Niyama. So these three are the law of karma, the law of mind, and the law of Dhamma or truth. So these three spiritual law, the Buddha has already perfected it. That's why he is an expert in the spiritual law. Likewise, the scientists are very good at the first two laws, scientific law, physical law of nature, and biological order of nature. That's why scientists understand many things and progress very far. So all these are because of their understanding of the first two laws. So our technological revolution, our scientific revolution, our technical evolution, or they call it the high-tech boom, has made us so different because we understand these two nature's law, physical law and biological law. So likewise, when the Buddha understands the three spiritual law, his wisdom is very, very different. That's why he understands the spiritual aspect of life very deep and very complete. And he even knows how human beings come into existence and how all these nature's law create the existential world, the phenomenal world, the whole universe with all its star system, planets, and whatever that is within nature. Even our planet Earth is already so unique, but we are just one of the minute planets in this star system. And there are countless billions and billions and billions of stars in this universe. And there are many universes too. And the distance between this universe and ours is very immense. We are talking about traveling at the speed of light year. The speed of light already very fast. If you travel for 1 year, it is a very big number. It covers great distance. But we have, through the scientific discovery, telescope capacity, we can see until 15, 16 billion light years. Means you travel at the speed of light for 15 to 16 billion years, you will still not reach the boundary of this universe. That's why you cannot comprehend how immense the universe is. Even for 1 year, you cover such great distance. But we are talking about billions of light years. And that is a very, very major figure. That's why the Buddha teach these three universal characteristics. He said, no matter what this condition world is, this universe is, everything has these three universal characteristics. It's exhibited in every phenomenon. The first one is anicchang, impermanent. So the Buddha said, impermanent nature of all conditioned arising entity, they only arise when the supporting conditions are there. When supporting conditions are no longer there, they cease to be. And because of that, it is anatta, empty and non-self. So anatta means within the conditioned world, everything is dependent originating. So only mighty nature rolling by. Hence emptiness. No permanent unchanging entity for one to cling onto and hold onto. And because it follows nature's law, everything is dependent originating, condition arising. That's why the Buddha said the universal characteristic of dukkha or suffering is inherent in all things when you don't have the wisdom. Dukkha means craving, clinging, and grasping to impermanent entities of the phenomenal world of consciousness. We are wanting things your way, which is against nature's way. This implies not able to get what one desires through one's habitual tendency born of self-delusion will bring about suffering. And mind make adi, because upon contact, the senses can give rise to sense or consciousness within our form and mind. So this part is very useful. Then the final summary of the first noble truth. When you deludedly grasp onto the five aggregates of form and mind as the I and the me, or the mind, you will be afflicted and suffering will arise. Bharatiya make reference to the four signs of an old man, a sick man, a dead man and a samana. From the life of the Buddha and the five daily contemplation as taught by the Buddha to expand on its understanding. So this one you go and read it up, or you go and listen to the sharing. Then there are two aspects of the five aggregate of body mind. The first aspect is as a human being. As a human being, we have a physical form, physical body. Yeah? Then we have a mind. Then the Buddha divide the mind into four more aggregates. Because our mind can feel, can perceive, can arise thinking, mental activity, mental states. They call it the content of consciousness or sankhara. And finally, our mind can be conscious of things. Conscious of what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, what we tactile feel and think. You combine the two, it becomes the five aggregate. Then the second aspect of the five aggregate is as a mental five aggregate. Within the mind, there are four aggregates. Then how did the form enter the mind? Through our perception aggregate. Because we perceive the external form. Then we bring it to mind. So the four aggregate of mind together with the external form makes up the five aggregate. This second aspect is very useful. This one, the Buddha used it to explain the law of mind, how your mind functions in the paticca samuppada or dependent origination. Then number six, this so-called living beings or five aggregates of form and mind, first aspect, is just a chemically conditioned vehicle and tool for us to come to this existential world to develop the cultivation and experience all of the pristine beauty and wonders of life. So use it with wisdom to arise the appropriate right thought, right speech, and right action, so as to be a blessing to all and not to be deluded by it. Then the five daily contemplation are old age, sickness and death, separation from loved ones and prized possession. Then the last one is, the Buddha said, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So this part is very useful. When you know karma plays such a great role in our life, we will take care of karma. And that's how the advice of the Buddha comes to be. Yeah? Then the first four, I think you can refer to the chanting book at the back. It's all written. The five daily contemplation means the Buddha recommend that we reflect and contemplate onto this five daily contemplation. Page 17. This is to develop understanding, preliminary understanding, so that you can free your mind. The five daily contemplation, the first three relate to our physical body. The Buddha said this body of our, of mind, is of the nature to decay, grow old, and get sick, for it has not gone beyond old age, sickness, and death. So this first three is very important. Getting old, getting sick, and dying. Because according to the Buddha, this body is made up of element, physical element, the four elements. Therefore, it is not real, not what you think you are. And because it's made up of element, it goes the way of nature. That's why it will experience old age, sickness and death. So when it happens, do not be deluded by it, deceived by it. Do not go and worry about it. Because this one is element, not you, not real. That's why the physical body is impermanent, goes the way of nature. And because it's impermanent, is not a permanent unchanging entity, then how can you say this is me, this is I? Then why must you deludedly cling, attach, and hold? If it's not you, then what is it for? It's a vehicle to take you around. It has the senses to give rise to consciousness. So use it. Then you will be free. So when you use it without having to worry about it, it becomes like a vehicle for you to use. Yeah. It is karmically conditioned out for you to come to this universe, for you to use. That's why use it with wisdom, with understanding, and do not be deluded by it. Then the fourth contemplation is all of our loved ones, wealth, possession, property, etc., which we held on to so dearly, they will all one day separate from us, or either separate from us, or we will separate from them when our breath stops. So all these five daily contemplation, they are very useful. When you develop the wisdom, you will not suffer. Okay, then number 8, the four number 12. This one is very useful. The four number 12 is the essence of the Buddha's teaching. It's also called the essence of Dhamma. When you understand the Dhamma, you understand the secret of life. Then you know how to live life. That is the beauty of this teaching. So you look at the whiteboard. Teaching of the Buddha, sometimes people call it Buddhism, where they add the ism to it. So Buddhism, you can say, is the teaching of the Buddha. Yeah? And it's also called the Dhamma. And Dhamma is truth, nothing else. I mean, he teaches the truth. And these are very powerful truth. They are not ordinary truth. They are called noble truth. Noble truth means when you understand them, you become noble one. And noble ones are enlightened ones, like I explained just now. They have noble quality, the noble eightfold path quality. They have right view or right understanding, which is wisdom, leading to right thought, right speech, right action. The way they conduct themselves, carry themselves in life. They are very noble in all aspects of communication, speech, action, and thought process. And the way they live their life. They are very noble in all aspects of life. So when you understand this truth, which are nature's law that governs life and existence, you will understand the secret of life. Yeah, this is how they operate and function. So when you understand the secret of life, it's not only about the conditioned world, our existential world. It's about the unconditioned too. There's like two aspects, both the mundane aspect and the supramundane aspect. Means this one is the unconditioned world, the enlightenment world, which is not within the existential world. That's why this teaching is very comprehensive and very unique in that sense. Then out of the four noble truths, you have the first noble truth, the noble truth of dukkha, or suffering, or misery, unhappiness, sorrow, and lamentation, honestly. Even your fear, worry, anxiety, they are all there. And this noble truth, the Buddha say, explain to you the realities of life and existence. He say, if we were to live life long enough, we will experience the eight realities of life and existence, where we will have to confront them. At the first four, you all know, birth, old age, sickness, and death. Then the next four is separation from loved ones and prized possession. That's why we have to reflect and contemplate in the five daily contemplation. Then the sixth one is when we are with people whom we don't like. The seventh one is when things don't go your way, when you cannot get what you want, when your expectations in life are not met, you become afflicted, miserable. Then the final summary, when you deludedly attach to this so-called living being or human being, the five aggregates of form and mind, this will bring about suffering, the Buddha said. The upadana khandas, the five aggregates of grasping, the grasping aggregate lead to suffering. So this eight reality of life and existence, they summarize to you all of life. And this other reality, nothing is apart from that within the conditioned world. Yeah, everything has to do with the five aggregate of form and mind. Then it is very complete. Means all of the mundane aspects of life are described under the first noble truth. That's why you look at the note, the mundane aspects are the first and second noble truth. The first noble truth is about explaining to you the reality of life and existence, the eight reality I already explained. Then second noble truth is samudaya. Samudaya is a Pali word. It means the cause of arising of suffering, which is craving, born of self-delusion. When you deludedly believe this physical body and mind, or the human being or living being is real, is what you are, then that delusion will give rise to possessiveness, craving, positive and negative, desire. That's how suffering arises. Because you believe you exist, then there is a personality, an ego, I, me, all this can be mine. So because of this ego, this personality that you deludedly grasp onto, then this one tend to be possessive, and it develops greed, selfishness. That's why the evil root all arise. That's how you become afflicted. Through that self-delusion, through the evil root, you create negativity or karma, then you suffer unnecessarily. And because you think you exist, you can also become emotional, get angry, unhappy. That's why the evil root of hatred, anger. Then followed by delusion. Delusion is when you don't understand the truth. When you deludedly grasp and cling, thinking that all the phenomenal world is real. Everything that arises, dependent on condition, are real. And you try to own them. You try to possess them. And you want them to be like your loved one, forever young, never get old, never get sick, and never die. Even your own physical body. It's impossible. We are all this go the way of nature. Sooner or later, it will separate from you. And when you cannot accept this reality, you become afflicted. That's why the teaching is not difficult when you understand. But when you don't understand through delusion, you will be afflicted. That's what the teaching is all about. So the Buddha says suffering need not be. That's why the third noble truth is about the supramundane aspect. You look at the notes. The Buddha said Nibbana or enlightenment in the here and the now can be realized. It's possible. So suffering need not be when you understand the teaching, the truth. And he not only tell you, you can develop that enlightenment, he even teach you how to do it. So the fourth number two is called the path. Marga. Marga is path that leads to the end of all suffering. He said, if you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. That's why under that fourth one I put, mundane cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path lead to the supramundane realization, the fourth noble truth. Means cultivating Noble Eightfold Path lead to the end of all suffering and the realization of enlightenment. So that's the reason why the Four Noble Truths is so powerful, the teaching of the Buddha is so powerful, and it's so complete, so beautiful. Yeah? That's why you should actually count your own blessing, yeah? And thank the Buddha for such teaching. And this is the only teaching that is free. They used to say there is no such thing as a free luncher. But this is the only thing that is really free and yet is most precious. Yeah. That's why when you come to understand, you will have a lot of joy. You will cherish this teaching, yeah, because it's so beautiful and yet so complete, so thorough. And no need money. You don't need to pay fee to learn. Everything is available, free. Because to the Buddha, truth is beyond value, beyond money. You understand, huh? You can't place a price on truth. Because truth is priceless. That's why this teaching is always priceless. That's why our Dhamma book is all printed for free distribution. Because we just want to share this noble teaching with all humanity, all beings. So this will cover our previous sharing. Then number 9 is just additional understanding. If there isn't the unconditioned, the Buddha said, then freedom from the conditioned world will be impossible. May cessation of former mind leading to the enlightenment or the realization of Nibbana is impossible. And when you realize Nibbana, it completely liberates and frees your mind. So that ends the previous Tuesday sharing. Yeah? Do you have any question? Anybody got any question? Yeah? If you have or you want to share anything, you can just put up your hand. Yeah? Don't have. Okay, don't have, then we continue. Eh? We continue from where we end. I think we were at chapter 17. We end. We completed chapter 16. So now we are at chapter 17. Those who are new, you don't have the book. It's okay. Yeah? I will read to you. So chapter 17 is on the Four Noble Truths. After chapter 17, I think is chapter 17 and chapter 18. After that is Law of Karma. Then we have PG. PG has book that Law of Karma. Yes. Chapter 18 already start, Karma. So next week is yours, PJ. Okay, good. Karma got a lot of chapter, good. Okay. We will try to finish off chapter 17 today because most of it I have covered. So the heading there, the Four Noble Truths, chapter 17. Light arose in me in things not heard before. So this is the famous quote from Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta is the first sermon as proclaimed by the Buddha after his enlightenment. After his enlightenment, he journeyed southward to look for his five ascetic who left him earlier on. Then when he met them, after having convinced them, he delivered this sutta. After he delivered this sutta, one of them, Kandanya, became a sotapan, became enlightened. He realized the first stage of sainthood. Then he delivered another sutta. He called it the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, the sutta on non-self or empty nature or existence. Immediately after that sutta, all five become arahant. That's why all these teachings are very powerful. But they can awaken because they have the parami or the perfection cultivated in their past life. Okay. This sentence, light arose in me in things not heard before, is actually very beautiful. Because when the Buddha was going through the cultivation, he connected back to his true mind, true nature. Then he inherited his past. Then he came to realize that all of nature's truth can be understood in just understanding the Four Noble Truths with its tree turning. Then under that Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, he did mention after his enlightenment, he came to realize things that he has never understood before or never heard before. That's why he said, light arose in me in things not heard before. Means all the other teacher that has taught him also don't understand. So this is the supramundane enlightenment aspect that the Buddha realized. And this one is very beautiful. That's why the Buddhist teaching is so unique. Okay, I will read on. Truth or satya is that which is, or what is, means the reality. Its Sanskrit equivalent is satya, which means an incontrovertible fact, means the reality, what is. The truth. According to Buddhism, there are four such truths pertaining to the so-called being. In the Rohitasa Sutta, the Buddha states, within this phantom length body, along with perception and thought, actually it's more than that, along with mindfulness, perception and thought, do I proclaim the origin of the world? Do I proclaim the world, the origin of the world, the cessation of the world, and the path leading to the cessation of the world? Means the Four Noble Truths. In this particular context, the term world in Pali is called loka. That's why we got the three worlds, the three loka. Kama loka, the sensual world. Then we got the form world, rupa loka. Then we got the formless world, arupa loka. The 31 plane of existence. So in this particular context, the world here denotes suffering. Because within the conditioned world, there is this characteristics of dukkha, suffering. That's why loka is another term for suffering. So the Buddha say, within this phantom length body, along with mindfulness, perception, and thought process, he proclaimed the world, the cause of the arising of the world, the cessation of the world, and the path that lead to the cessation. May he realize the Four Noble Truths within this phantom length body. Do you all know how he can do that or not? Why your form and mind is so important? How can you relate to his teaching? I have explained this many times. Anybody want to try? Why did the Buddha say along within this phantom length body, along with mindfulness, perception and thought, he proclaimed the Four Noble Truths? What did the Buddha teaching explain the only way to truth. What sutta is it? Ekayana obhikkhave bhikkhu. O bhikkhu, this is the only way for the purification of being, for the overcoming of sorrow and lamentation, leading to the enlightenment, realization of Nibbana. And what is it? Satipatthana Sutta, very good. So what is this Satipatthana Sutta? The four foundations of mindfulness. And what are the four foundations? First one is what? Kayanupassana. Within your phantom lying body, you got the kaya or not? You got your kaya, yeah. That's why you can meditate on the first foundation. Then within this phantom lying body, with the consciousness inside, do you have the feeling aggregate? That's why Vedana Nupassana, mindfulness of feeling, you can cultivate it. Then do you have the citta, content of consciousness within you? You have. That's why there is citta nupassana. Then all of the reality and the truth is within this phantom-like body, because from this so-called human being, you arise through karma, karmically conditioned into this existential world. And this is the vehicle for you and tool for you to come to this existential world, to live life, to experience life. That's why all of Dhamma can be experienced by the form and mind. That's why the foundation is Dhamma Nupassana. So that's the reason why the Buddha explained it correctly. That's how Sun Tzu also came to know. You remember Sun Tzu? The one that is they call it the chief monk before Hui Ning arrived. His poem, he said, our body is like a what? Bohi tree. And what is Bohi? Bohi is what? Bohi mind. What is Bohi? Enlightenment. Understand? So this phantom-like body that the Buddha talked about can lead to enlightenment. That's why he said, our body is like a Bohi tree. Can bring forth the enlightenment. Then he said, our mind is like a mirror bright on the stand. That one he got it wrong. That one is the mundane mind. The first part he got it correct. That's why when he got the second one wrong, his third one also go wrong. He said, polish until it shines so that no dust can align. So this is where Sun Tzu went wrong. The first one was correct. Sun Tzu Pu Ti Su. Our body is like a Bohi tree. Correct. You can use it to meditate and become enlightened. So this is the meaning here. Okay, then I will read on. This interesting passage refers to the Four Noble Truths which the Buddha himself discovered by his own intuitive understanding. The word knowledge is wrong. Whether the Buddha arises or not, this truth exists. And it is the Buddha that reveals them to the deluded world. They do not and cannot change with time because they are eternal truth. The Buddha was not in debt to anyone. For his realization of them, he himself said, they were unheard before. That's why when the merchant met him after his enlightenment, when he asked him, who is your teacher? He said, I don't have a teacher. Because this realization was developed by his own understanding. Nobody had taught him this truth before. These truths are in Pali term, Arya Satya. Arya means noble one. Satya is true. That's why they call it the Aryan truth or noble truth. They are so called because they were discovered by the greatest Arya, the Buddha, who was far removed from passion. So the Buddha, after his enlightenment, he was able to summarize all of his understanding into just four noble truths, such simple truth. And he called them noble truth because when you understand them or awaken to them, you become noble ones or enlightened ones. That's the reason why the Buddha is so unique. And in the year 1971, when I first received the first edition of this What Buddhists Believe, written by our late Chief Reverend K. Sri Dhammananda. The first time I saw in the book the Four Noble Truths. That time I was just in Form 5. Straight away, deep in my heart, my nature, there was so much joy, you know. Then I straight away realized, no need to search already, that's it. We are deep inside, tell me, nobody in this universe can summarize all of his understanding after he become enlightened into just four noble truths, which is so complete and so beautiful. That's why I can share with you on the whiteboard. Just now the whiteboard I share with you, the book never write on, I tell you. And nobody can link it to all this understanding. That's the reason why this teaching is very unique. And the moment my nature read about this truth, it's like I have understood this truth before. And my nature realized, even this life, let's say without the Buddha's teaching, if I were to, through my own striving, able to realize this enlightenment, I cannot summarize all of my understanding into just four noble truths like that, like what the Buddha has done. Impossible. Because my nature knew I'm not able to do it. That's why I say he must be the real one. Otherwise, he cannot do it. And from that moment onward, I never look for, search for any other truth. I have complete faith, and I just go all out to cultivate his teaching. That's how immediately after that, when I entered the university, I met him the first day. I went for, somebody took me to, he said, I bring you somewhere. He didn't even tell me where. Then I went there, science faculty, one lecture hall. Then I saw the author of the book, our late Chief Reverend K. Sri. He was delivering a Dhamma talk there. And for the first time in my life, I saw a monk in robe, speak very good English, and speak the Dhamma, the topic that I like to listen. I was full of joy. Then immediately after the talk, I went down to ask for his contact. That's how I ended up in Brickfield. I went to see him at his temple, and that was how everything started. Then after that, no turning back. In the uni, that night itself, I came back, I meditate. I don't know how to meditate. But the moment I sat down, everything happened. And I was sitting there for 4 hours without me knowing it. And after I came out, my mind was so still. So still. And not only for that day, it lasted for the next 4 or 5 days. Still, like no movement. So calm. So full of peacefulness, calmness, joy. So I thought that was meditation. That's why I felt so good. And after that, my faith was very strong. Then a lot of things happened. That's how the understanding all later unfold. Then I was involved with some Buddhist activity. I joined the Buddhist society. Now they call it the BGF. I think we were the pioneer group. We call it BGF with another name last time. They call it the Buddhist Graduate Fellowship. Buddhist Graduate Fellowship. Then they say, non-graduate cannot join. So they change they retain the abbreviation, BGF, but they call it Buddhist Gem Fellowship. So from graduate, it become Gem. So that was how it was evolved out. I think the main person behind is Victor Lee, I remember. He was the president at that time. And before him also, there were some other president. There was one called Chan Kek Kee, I remember. Then another one is Victor something, I forgot already. Before Victor V, there was another Victor, I remember. That time was beautiful, that time when in the university, Malaya, 75, I remember the year 1975 to 1979. Those 4 years were my most beautiful years. The university life. For the first time, I came out from a small town, Alostar. Then I was able to have the great opportunity and condition to be admitted to the engineering faculty of University of Malaya. And it was a very unique occasion too, very prestigious university. And we are the only few from our Kedah State. I was the only one that studied civil engineering. There was another classmate studied electrical engineering. Then the other few went overseas and later came back and did engineering too. So those were the conditions behind. So it was really beautiful. And now that there is condition, that's why I share this with you, so that you can develop the faith. The uniqueness of this teaching is not easy to understand unless you have your past cultivation. Okay, now we go on. The first truth, or the first noble truth, deal with dukkha, which for need of a better English equivalent is rendered by suffering or sorrow. In fact, a lot of word has been used to explain this word dukkha. The best is don't change it, retain it, because its meaning is so wide and so complete, and they use so many English words yet they cannot really define. Because dukkha is not just suffering or misery. Whatever you cling on to is dukkha. That's why I used to share with you all. All pleasurable experience, sense experience that you experience in life is a prelude to dukkha. So you cannot say dukkha is suffering. Whatever you cling on to, attach on to, grasp on to, even the pleasurable sense experience, can lead to suffering. When you are not able to get what you want, that is dukkha. Means you attach to good state of mind, pleasurable sense experience. When you attach, when you cannot get it repeated, you are afflicted. So dukkha is not just pertaining to suffering, to misery. No, all of the good mind state, as long as you are deluded, you will grasp, you will cling, and you will have dukkha, suffering. So dukkha, the word is very, very wide, very complete. Then even feeling, as a feeling, dukkha means that which is difficult to endure. As an abstract truth, dukkha is used in the sense of contemptible and emptiness. Because it's empty nature of existence. That's why you cannot understand the three universal characteristics, you will be trapped and you will be afflicted and suffering will arise, dukkha will arise. The world rests on suffering, the Buddha said. Hence it is contemptible. The world is devoid of any reality when you understand its empty nature. Hence it is empty and void. So dukkha therefore can also mean contemptible, void. Dukkha is a universal characteristic. You understand? Universal characteristic. Because when you don't understand, when you don't have wisdom, you will be afflicted. No matter what you hold on to, as long as there is craving, clinging, grasping through delusion, this universal characteristic is there. Average men are only superficial and arya sitting as they are. To an arya, all life is suffering and he finds no real happiness in this world, which deceives mankind with illusionary pleasure. So this statement, you have to be careful. I don't know why a lot of Buddhists like to express it this way. Actually, this is not the way the Buddha explained. Like his first noble truth of dukkha, a lot of Buddhists, when you ask them what is the first noble truth, they will tell you life is suffering. And that is completely out of context. Where the Buddha never say life is suffering. The Buddha said there is a noble truth of dukkha. And it's different from life is suffering. You know? There is a noble truth that explains to you clearly what dukkha is. Means the reality of life and existence. When you don't understand this reality, you attach, you cling, you grasp, then suffering will arise. Means the Buddha is trying to tell you the prevalence of suffering in this world. Suffering is everywhere when you don't have the understanding. But in the third noble truth, he taught suffering need not be. That's why life is not suffering. When you have the wisdom and the understanding, life can be beautiful and wonderful, like the Heart Sutta. So this is a very pessimistic way of saying it. To an arya, all life is suffering. No! To an arya, life is beautiful when you understand. When you don't understand, then this noble truth of dukkha will arise. That's why that is the teaching. So don't get this wrong. So this one is very important. Otherwise, other type of religion will prey on your this statement. They say, why you want to go and believe in Buddhism? It teaches you nothing else except suffering. What a boring teaching. What a boring subject. They say, life is suffering. Everything is suffering. There is no love. There is no compassion. There is no meaning to life. Then, as Buddhists, you also look at them. Then sometimes they are so, you call it what? They lure you. So good at luring you. Come to our teaching. Ours is a teaching of love, Jesus' love and compassion. Then he somehow tell you, got all the beautiful, what they call Christian hymns. They sing, caroling and all those things. Then they got a lot of very beautiful fellowship. Then of course, there is also a lot of pretty girls there too, in the university, I remember. When they send them to convert the freshie, the first year student, they always bring along quite a number of pretty ladies. But whatever it is, if you have the understanding of the Buddha Dhamma, you will not be affected. All this will be understood. Then material happiness is merely the gratification of some desire. No sooner is the desired thing gained, then it begins to be scorned. In satire are all desire. So this one is quite okay. But the actual meaning is different. The Buddha say, craving is the cause of suffering. But craving, the Buddha explained, there are three types of cravings. Have you heard of this three types of craving? Yeah? The Pali word is tanha. Yes, good. So tanha is craving. So there are three types of craving. Yeah? Like Pamasuri mentioned, first one is kama tanha. This kama, the spelling is different. Kama, no kara. So this kama is sensual craving, kama tanha. So this one is sensual craving. Then number two is what? Bawa tanha. So bawa tanha. This one is craving to be. Then the last one is, you add in the word vi in front, vibhava tanha. Vibhava tanha. So this is craving for, craving not to be. Some call it craving for existence and craving for non-existence, but that word is not so accurate. Yeah? The first one is easy to understand. Kama tanha, sensual craving, like and dislike, whatever. You crave for things that is born of your senses. That's why it's called sensual craving. Kama tanha. Kama is a sensual world. Kama loka is sensual world. So kama tanha is sensual craving. Whatever that has to do with your senses. Like whatever you see, you hear, you smell, you taste, you tactile, you feel and think. Whether pleasant or unpleasant, good or bad. All this will lead to suffering. The reason being, the Buddha said, when you cannot get what you want, it will bring about suffering. But the other two craving is more interesting. They are not so common, but they can really afflict a living being. The first one is craving to be. Means you want to become somebody. That's all. You want to be promoted, you want to become CEO, you want to be a graduate, or the head of department and all those things. Then you want to be a world champion, everything. So this is your craving, craving to become something. That's why when you use the word craving for existence, it doesn't portray the meaning in it. To me, it's like you crave to live, understand that? Existence is life, isn't it? To live. That one doesn't carry the meaning. But craving to be, to become something. Because you think you exist, you are real, and you can become that one. But this physical form and mind, the so-called body and mind, or the human being, is not you. Then how can you become something? That's why Ajahn Chah said, don't try to be an arahant. If you try to be an arahant, you will never become an arahant. But there is craving, craving to be. You understand? Yeah. Why must you crave? This is the form and mind, a vehicle and tool for you to come, to live life, to experience life, to use, to cultivate, to do whatever you want to understanding. Then there is no more delusion. Why do you want to be, crave to be? Then you will ask me the next question. Theo, these are our ambition, isn't it? We have to have ambition to become successful, to become somebody. True. But you must understand this is not you, understand? But this one is subject to karma, law of karma. That's why this one has its own reality within existence. It may not be you, but it's connected to you because it's a vehicle and tool for you to use. Then when you develop the training of the mind, the meditation to become enlightened, then the wisdom connected to it, then this form and mind become beautiful. Even though not you, it will have the wisdom. And that wisdom can transform this form and mind into an enlightened being. This enlightened being is not you, but it's a vehicle and a tool for you to use, understand, to live life, to come to this world. That's why this one will not suffer anymore. Then you know the nature's law that governs life and existence. You want to become successful, a world champion, an engineer, or a CEO. Work towards it. Don't violate the karmic law. Don't violate the spiritual law, nature's law. You work towards it through understanding, through aspiration, through the four bases of success, which I have shared on the Thursday class. Means you have passion. Chanda, passion. Then virya, this zeal, the tenacity to go this way. Then the willpower, the determination, the sincerity. Then you constantly investigate, find out how can you reach that goal. How can you realize that ability to become what this form of mind wants to be. So all this will bring forth the causes and conditions. Then you have the Dhamma, you make aspiration, you invoke power of merits for causes and conditions for this form and mind to become beautiful, to have the condition to become successful, to become whatever it wants to be. So that one is not craving, that one is understanding. That's why without craving, understanding can still bring forth the result. That's the reason why I say, as a Buddhist, it's not wrong to have ambition. Ambition is not a craving. Ambition is an understanding. My ambition is to become a civil engineer like me. So I work towards it. I don't have delusion. So the ambition is not a craving. If I work not determined enough, if I have not put in enough of those efforts, or the necessary condition for it to be fulfilled, then I fail to be an engineer because I cannot pass the exam. Or I can't even enter the university that offers the course. So all these are the Buddhist understanding. Sensual desire, sensual craving, craving to be, all this need not arise because there is no craving. It's understanding, wisdom. Then the last one is vibhava tanha, craving not to be. So every time human being very funny, like you want to become CEO, you think the position is very prestigious and very important, so you work very hard. Some go all the way whether violating nature's law or what, they don't care, they just want to be there. Then when they reach there, they realize it's such a hot seat. So what happened? A lot of politics, backstabbing, because that position everybody want now. So they have to remove you, otherwise they cannot come out. So they backstab you, they do all those funny things against you. Then you cannot take the pressure, what you do? You don't want to become that CEO anymore, craving not to be. That's why sometimes people reach the stress threshold where they cannot take it anymore. They decide to resign. Sometimes they even commit suicide. Understand? Especially those who make mistakes cannot take it. So this is what the teaching is all about. When you understand, it's so beautiful, so meaningful. So craving is a very dangerous thing. Craving is the cause of suffering. So the Buddha said, if you have these three craving, you will have affliction, suffering, misery. Okay, we move on. all are subject to birth, and consequently, wow, so fast, 10:30 already. Still got so much to cover. Like that PG, you can rest one more day. One more session. Oh, Visak Day, yeah. I use Visak Day to cover it. Yeah, this will be good. I use Visak Day to cover this. Okay, we stop. So, page 3-1. Good. So, Visak Day, we cover the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta also. I still have enough for Thursday class on this one. Oh, very good. Everybody got a copy of the notes? Good. Never mind. You all can keep. Oh, Sunday class you have, so come. So I will use it for Thursday class. The rest you all can have it. Where I have enough. Yeah. Oh, okay. Let us recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have developed. Then we will dedicate and share these merits with all beings. We will start off with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata deva naga mahindika punyantang anumoditva jirang rakantu lokasasana Ita wata caamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo Ibina punyang kamena Mame bala samagamo Satang samagamo hotu Yawa nivana patiya Sadhu 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 Okay, pay respect to Triple Gem, then we can end.